will be asked during the lesson. Rav, yes, please. Moshe, we must first acquire a genuine understanding of the nature of love of the Creator itself. We must know that all the inclinations, tendencies, and properties instilled in man with which to serve one's friends, all these tendencies and natural properties are required for the work of the Creator. To begin with, they were created and imprinted in man only because of their final role, the ultimate purpose of man. As it is written, no outcast shall be cast out from him. One needs them all so as to complement oneself in the ways of reception of the abundance and to complete the will of the Creator. This is the meaning of everyone who is called by my name, I have created him for my glory. And also, all that the Lord has worked was for his sake. However, in the meantime, man has been given a whole world to develop and complete all these natural inclinations and qualities in him by engaging in them with people, thus yielding them suitable for their purpose. It is as our sages said, one must say, the world was created for me, for all the people in the world are required for a person as they develop and qualify the attributes and inclinations of every individual to become a fit tool for his work. Thus, we must understand the essence of the love of the Creator from the properties of love by which one person relates to another. The love of the Creator is necessarily given through these qualities, since they were only imprinted in man for his sake to begin with. Love, this is what we need to know and constantly repeat, that from relations between the friends, we don't appreciate them. We say it's not so bad. We don't understand that only if we come to the right connection between us to that extent and in this way, we can connect and reveal the Creator. So the rule is to go from the love of people to the love of the Creator. That's the only way to get to the Creator. But we won't be able to feel him and attain him and understand him if we don't first go through stages of knowing our egoistic, all kinds of forms of egoistic connections between us. So let's, as quickly as possible, we will be incorporated and complete these works between each other so that we will get as quickly as possible to work between man and the Creator. Because if we slight the importance of working between each other, we have no chance of revealing the Creator. I want us to understand it, feel it, to really grasp it so it will direct us all the time, so we will constantly know and remind each other that this is the way. We first of all acquire all kinds of discernments in the relations between the friends, and to that extent, we are ready to begin to feel and thus, we must understand the essence of the love of the Creator from the properties of love by which one person relates to another. The love of the Creator is necessarily given through these qualities, since they were only imprinted in man for his sake to begin with.
Meaning with the same tendencies, the same stages, the same conduits which one assembles in his relationship with the friends, through those same conduits, he connects to the Creator and receives this connection to the Creator. It's just that with the friends, he can do it as there's some mutual sensation, mutual understanding, mutual bestowal, while with the Creator there isn't any. So, therefore, from the love of the created beings to the love of the Lord, that's how we build this system of connection between the friends and to later use it to connect with the Creator. Petach Tikva 6.
Rav, yesterday you explained that we have no chisaron, no lack for connection. And throughout the day we were trying to discern why we don't have it and how can we have more of a deficiency for connection. Is a lack for connection just a lack to be with the ten and work with it, or is there another depth here?
No, it's written that the final outcome is in the initial thought. If we're talking about the lack in the ten alone, it can be a gang of criminals or a group of, I don't know what. But if we are talking about how we need to achieve adhesion with the Creator, then the society with which we deal has the same status as the goal. So first, do we start from a lack for connection? Is that the same thing or love? No, I want to connect to the Creator, to attain Him, to feel Him, because that's how I feel. I have a reshimo. I have an inner desire. That's how I received it, a gift. I received it. Now, in order to actualize it, when I look for how to actualize it, I stumble upon this condition from the love of the created beings to the love of the Lord, meaning that I need to put my affairs with the created beings in order. And so, as Baal Sulam explains to us in Freedom of Choice, the Creator brings us to the society, puts one's hand on the good fate and tells him, take this for yourself, and so on. Thus, over a long time, we have to establish our relationship with the society, to get along with them, to connect to them, and so to acquire qualities, emotions, understanding, discernment regarding the connection between myself and the friends. That's what I need. And the more I bestow to them, and I need to relate to them, the same as I relate to the Creator, or as though I'm relating to the Creator. Are you listening, all of you? I'm learning on them how to relate to the Creator, but with them it's easier because I see them, I feel them, I receive some response from them, and so with them, I reach, me and them, we reach a connection which is called a lack, through connection and then all the way through to love. And to the extent that I begin to acquire such positive connections with them, I begin through them to discover the upper force which resides, dwells between us. Because I prepared my relations with the friends so that I can reach the Creator in them, feel Him, reach Him. And so from the love of the created beings, I come to the love of the Creator.
How do I know that I have the right deficiency for connection and not, like you said, we're a gang of criminals?
With respect to the friends, you cannot go wrong. You can scrutinize whatever appears before you. Don't worry. Don't confuse yourself over nothing. You can scrutinize it with them, as the Abash writes. You don't need the upper force in order to find yourself connected to the friends. Later, you also receive a connection to him. But to be connected to the friends in a proper, good way, in order to be in each one helps his friend and in mutual bestowal, for that you do not need the Creator.
Rav, he writes in the paragraph, a person must say the world was created for me because all the people in the world are required for the individual as they develop and qualify his inclinations and properties of every individual. How does it work by exerting to connect to the friends? How does it qualify my inclinations and properties?
To the extent that you connect with the friends, you correct your qualities to in order to bestow, and then by that you bestow upon the whole world, the whole great vessel. Petrach
Tikva 5. Yeah, relating to what you said before of about the situation where you come across love of friends on the way to the Creator. Why don't all the people who have an inclination to the Creator come to a way where they can realize this inclination through a love of friends, but they go elsewhere?
They don't want to engage in the love of the created beings. They don't want to. They have a clearly defined goal. I need to discover the Creator. I need to connect to Him. What do I get from being so righteous here between the created beings, to help them, love them, to come close to them, care for them, open my heart? Not in action, actually, doing these things. That's not... But they don't feel that this needs to be, to happen. With the Creator, of course, but with the created beings, no. Why? It's only now, in the last generation, that we'll see how this opens up. You won't be able to take a single step forward towards spirituality before making corrections in the corporeal connections with people.
So what does that mean? Their relishimo hasn't ripened? Because many people in the world want the Creator.
Yes, of course. Who doesn't want it? Who doesn't want the Creator? If it's one upper force on which my fate and destiny depend, then of course you want it. I want it.
Tov.
Well.
Lachen yesh baderech michshol.
That's why there's an obstacle on the path. And one who truly wants the Creator discovers that the love of friends is in the path, on the path. He rejects it, he doesn't want it, he's willing to do anything but for that, anything but for that. But later, he surrenders, begins to study this, to understand, to accept and to actualize the love of friends, and within the love of friends, he begins to come close to the Creator, and it's a long path. Sometimes he reaches the wisdom of Kabbalah, and he wants the revelation of the Creator, and he's willing to do everything, and indeed has a very strong desire. But when he becomes stuck on that condition, stumbles upon that condition of the love of friends, he retreats. He doesn't want it. He retreats. And later, perhaps he returns. After many years, he runs around here and there until returning again, entering the love of friends, perhaps not in this incarnation. But ultimately, he understands that there is no alternative, because you cannot build a vessel with which to connect to the Creator if not between the friends. Petrach Tikva 24.
Well, that's the question. On one hand, you said before that with love of friends we can't go wrong. With bestowal and mutual help, you don't need the Creator. So where is the mistake? Where do we fall on the path of love of friends? Because on the face of it seems like we're engaging in it. We have no other engagement.
I suppose there is some engagement, but not with the same seriousness as it would be with respect to the Creator. We don't understand that, well, don't grasp it yet. It's not engraved in our hearts that the love of friends is the vessel, the means by which to continue to the love of the Creator. If I don't love the ten, I never reach the Creator.
So I don't have a direction toward the Creator. If I don't work in the ten, I'm not thinking about the Creator. I have no inclination to Him.
You can think, but you cannot come near. You understand?
I don't even feel this inclination to the Creator. It's something abstract. It doesn't sit anywhere. It just comes and goes.
That's true. The fact that it's abstract. That's true. Key of one.
Yes, dear Rav, you said that within the love of friends, in exactly the same channels, if I understood you correctly, you discover the love for the Creator. What does it mean that these channels in the love?
It's in those ten sefirot where we build connections between us. In those ten sefirot, we receive, in the connection between them, the image of the Lord, as we call it, the form of the Creator.
I still don't understand.
I understand that it's hard to understand, but you should know that when you create the correct web of connections with the friends, then an integral sense will come to you, which establishes them or stabilizes them, forms them, and that is called the Creator. Unity 4.
A question from a friend in the 10. What does it mean, a real feeling of the Creator, and how can you implement it among the friends in the 10?
When we reach a proper connection with the friends, from that we begin to feel the meaning of the connection with the Creator and how it feels. New York 4.
Rabash said that the same inclinations, tendencies, and properties with which one serves one's friends will lead one to be able to serve the Creator. But where do we get these tendencies if we don't have any natural inclinations like that?
We need to ask of the Creator to give us the right connections in the ten, between us. And from these connections in the ten that we acquire between us, we will come to know how to relate to the Creator. That's for certain. Peter 3.
Yes, I heard from you at some point that the result from the work, from the right request, is improvement or a descent in the connection with the friends. And really, the more we work, the worse we get. You don't feel happy because you receive feeling from improving the relationship. So how do we discern if I work correctly or incorrectly?
It's not important for us what the outcomes will be. What's important to us is how much we invest in it. And if on the way we suddenly see that our actions didn't do any good, but even maybe caused something bad, it's not, we just examine ourselves and continue. we continue. We check, but continue. That's how the Creator examines us, because it all comes from Him. And so, we do not ascribe all these actions and outcomes to us, but rather to Him. Africa.
Our question is, it's written that a person must become, every individual must become a fit tool for his work. What does it mean to become a fit tool for the Creator's work?
To bestow. Each individual, each and every part, each will and desire in us, and most especially between us, as we connect together, has to be under the intention to bestow upon the Creator. The 12 parts of Tess. We read, we studied, you could say, the first part of the first part, and now we come to the second part of the first part, which is called Histaklut Pnimit, or inner perspective, inner outlook. We'll read it, we'll ask questions, we'll try to answer it. But again, I say, you all have to understand that we study only in order to gain the power to connect together, and in that connection between us to discover the Creator. That is the purpose, the true purpose of the study. Not to know in our intellect, not to remember these things, but as much as I need to change according to the actions I read about. It's all about the extent to which I change according to the acts, the actions I read about. Please.
Histaklut Pnimit. First, you must know that when dealing with spiritual matters that have no concern with time, space, and motion, and moreover with dealing with godliness, we do not have the words by which to express and contemplate. Our entire vocabulary is taken from sensations of imaginary senses. Thus, how can they assist us where sense and imagination do not reign? For example, if you take the subtlest of words, namely orot, lights, it nonetheless resembles and borrows from the light of the sun, or an emotional light of satisfaction. Thus, how can they be used to express godly matters? They would certainly fail to provide the reader with anything true. It is even truer in a place where these words should disclose the negotiations in the wisdom in print, as is done in any research of wisdom. If we fail with even a single inadequate word, the reader will be instantly disoriented and will not find his hands and legs in this entire matter.
Clear thus far? No questions. So we'll continue. Meaning, the words need to be clear as much as possible, because otherwise we may be confused and to understand something instead of something else, because we don't feel, we don't see spirituality, and we can get confused. Because each one can interpret a single word very differently to the others, and so we get lost.
For this reason, the sages of Kabbalah have chosen a special language, which we can call the language of the branches. There is not an essence or a conduct in this world that does not begin in its shorish roots in the upper world. Moreover, the beginning of every being in this world starts from the upper world and then hangs down to this world. Thus, the sages have found an adequate language without trouble by which they could convey their attainments to each other by word of mouth and in writing from generation to generation. They have taken the names of the branches in this world, where each name is self-explanatory, as though pointing to its upper shosh, upper root, in the system of the upper worlds.
Meaning that if from above some phenomena descends, reaching our world, in our world we see that phenomena. Let's say this cup. So all the roots which built this cup, all those forces, they came into our world and manifested, as materialized as a cup. I also call all those roots a cup, just not a corporeal cup, but a spiritual cup, in whatever state in which this power appears. Clear? So we have a few rules here. First, all the forces come from above, from Ein Sof, through all the worlds down to this world. All these forces which appear in all the worlds, before they come to this world, they're called the branches. In this world, they are the outcomes. And according to these outcomes, we see the outcomes, and we can call them names, as we see in this world. We see these phenomena. And the upper forces, which have come and built these phenomena in our world, we call them by the same names. So it seems that each root cascades, reaching its singular root accurately, and therefore we cannot exchange the names and exchange the branches and confuse the outcomes of the branches and the roots. And therefore, there are very accurate roots descending very accurately from Ein Sof down to this world, and you have their outcomes, phenomena, in this world called branches. So you have the root and the branch. So you saw our tree, right? The symbol where you have roots above and the branches below. That is because everything grows from above, from the Creator, through all the roots, then you get branches and branches and branches until you come down to the end, the fruit, the final branches in this world. That's how we draw it, upside down. It's not a tree as the one I have here, but rather upside down. Right. So, we have a few laws, rules here. First of all, each branch belongs to its root. Each root has only its branch. Meaning, wherever there is a phenomena below, it has an identical source above, and they're connected directly, and it's only them connected. Nothing else can enter in, intervene, and mingle.
Are continuing in the paragraph, indeed, those whose eyes have not been opened to the sights of heaven and have not acquired the proficiency in the connections of the branches of this world with their roots in the upper world are like the blind scraping the walls. They will not understand the true meaning of even a single word.
Meaning, before we attain the upper root, we do not know what its connection is to the lower branch, and if we do not know this connection, yes, then we do not understand anything about the wisdom of Kabbalah. That is why all of our efforts are meant only to bring us to find the connection between our branch in this world and the root in the upper spiritual world, and then this law, this connection between root and branch, that's the entirety of the wisdom of Kabbalah. It's actually the entirety of creation. There is no more. Because in all those branches and roots, we have the four worlds and all the patsufim and sfiot and everything that exists in reality as a whole. There's nothing more but what exists between the spiritual root and the corporeal branch. Where are you, Moshe?
For each word is a branch that relates to its roots. Only if they receive an interpretation from a genuine sage who makes himself available to explain it in the spoken language, which is necessarily like translating from one language to another, meaning from the language of the branches to the spoken language. Only then will he be able to explain the spiritual term as it is.
As it is. So that should be clear to us. We cannot explain spiritual phenomena in our language, but somehow, seemingly it's similar to something, but when we reach spirituality, when it opens up to us, we discover that it's an opposite world, and I saw an opposite world, which previously I could not even imagine. All right.
PT-29.
What does it mean, if you could perhaps give an example of... what does it mean to study together?
I didn't understand.
What does it mean to study the test together?
Learning together means we put an intention before the study, we try to maintain the intention during the study, and at the end of the study, we also check if we kept this intention, if we had this intention at the end of the study. And it doesn't matter for us quite what we learned, if we understand or didn't understand the lesson, as long as we all had the same intention. Tel Aviv 3.
To determine that he's one, unique, unified, and to determine that he's good and benevolent, is it the same thing?
They are tied together, but you can see that each one still interprets it a little differently, although they come to a state of he's one and his name one. Ita 4.
Buongiorno, Rav. Non capisco che significa che il
comune unificato. I don't understand what it means that the Creator is one and unique above all the actions that we can perceive, the actions of good and bad.
There is one force which is the source of everything. First of all, we're speaking only with respect to us, to people, to this world, to where we are. We still don't know what business the upper force has and who knows what. We're not talking about this at all. We're only speaking about what a person can grasp in his development, both scientific, even, and all the more so spiritual. So that's what we're talking about. So we discover the Creator, as we learn from the Kabbalists, as one unique and unified, that He is good and does good, to the bad and to the good. And He wants to bring us to Dvikut, to adhesion with Him. Complete Dvikut. In other words, to His degree. This is basically all that we are learning about His uniqueness.
We were just wondering, our group has a question. Baha Salam uses the words understand and comprehend, but we've been instructed to approach these teachings with our hearts rather than our intellect. What does understand and comprehend mean in this context?
To understand and to know in the wisdom of Kabbalah means that we acquire the same qualities as the Creator gradually, bit by bit, and then we understand and study Him through the qualities. It's called by our actions, we know You. Through the qualities that I acquire from above, that I receive from above, qualities of bestowal, I begin to learn who the Creator is, His operations, His thoughts, His plans.
New York 3.
New York 3.
When reading Tess, how are we supposed to maintain the intention?
Constantly together, each one in his own tent, or together, all of us.
Thank you. And how can we feel that we are not derailed from that intention and entering the intellect?
We all have to worry about that. I have to see that the friends too don't get sidetracked from this. We don't have any other... you've got prayers for the Creator to take care of us as well, but this is basically all. This is everything. We have to be afraid of losing the right direction, because otherwise we will learn, and the upper light, instead of bringing us closer to the purpose, it will push us away from the purpose. So we will understand that we went the wrong way and we'll have to go back again. And this is the meaning of the stretching of time.
Thank you very much, Rav. Perhaps you've answered this question already, but regarding the man, when the receiver receives the man, he feels, let's say, some spicy flavor. So in that hot, spicy flavor, everything that comes from above is contained?
No. Everything that the kli can reveal. Focus group.
Good morning, Rav. A question from the internet. A student from Israel is asking, Rav, if my intention is incorrect during the study, does that make me feel tired? Can it make me fall asleep?
It's not because of the incorrect intention. It's because you didn't prepare yourself correctly to the lesson. You don't have the desire to connect to the lesson, to understand it, to absorb it, to drink it. New York 3.
Everyone feels the light according to his own qualities. So can we say that there's some specific attribute of the light that is common to each one?
Of course. This is called the good who does good. The light is good and does good. Each and everyone receives it, feels it, according to one's own level of equivalence with the light. It's just as we say about electricity. The instrument to which the electricity is connected, that instrument has to be suitable to the electricity that comes to it. And then there will be equivalence of form between them, and the instrument will work properly and will use the electricity correctly.
Brasil.
Querido Rav, o que é nessa altura uma alma boa ou má?
Mau atov verá ba lefia text hazé.
What's the good and bad according to this text?
Good is how close we are in our desire to the Creator, and far and bad is how far we are, or even opposite from the Creator we are. Because the Creator wants to do good, to give, to bestow, to love, the more opposite we are from this, the farther we are according to our nature. In our nature, we're so far from the Creator that we don't even feel that He exists. He doesn't exist in any of my senses. That's the problem.
Obrigado.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tel Aviv 3.
You're welcome. Tel Aviv 3.
Rav, in the 10, each one attains individual 10 sefirot. So what does it mean to feel the friend?
To feel the friend means we have the same goal as his. We're there, we're all together, although we're all different.
Moscow 1.
Moscow 1.
Непонятно этот пункт, как отделяется часть.
This paragraph isn't clear. How can a part be separated from the whole?
Рацион эхад им у бимашу.
By the desires. If one desire is different than another, it separates the two. If we had only one desire, you and I, and then in one of us, the desire is a bit changed. To that extent, we're distanced. If we could feel ourselves in one space, one place, we could feel how we are growing further apart, you and I. That's the way it is. Latin 1.
Rab, la pregunta es, ¿qué es una alma?
Oh, the question is, what is a good soul or a bad soul?
A good soul is when it's close to the Creator, to the quality of a soul, and a bad soul is when it's not yet corrected, but rather it doesn't want to be in the quality of a soul, but it's rather all in the quality of reception. That's called good and bad in spirituality. Good in spirituality, the good that does good, is the Creator. As much as you resemble Him, you're called good.
If every individual has a special root of his own soul, how can you be envious? And what is one envious to the other?
Why not? I want to be close to the Creator more than everyone else. Why isn't there a competition there? I also want to help everyone. But by that, I also want to be better than everyone. Even in helping others, I want to do it more than others. Not only in my will to receive, but also in the will to bestow. There is competition. Why not? Try it. For us in our life, we don't use it, but try to see how each and everyone in the world, suppose he would try to be the best for everyone else. Well,
And everyone is like him. Being in a competition. And accordingly, getting prizes, gratitude from the public. Why not?
Each one according to the root of his soul is the best in the world.
There is no such a thing. There's no such a thing. We're talking about how much each and everyone is making efforts to be the best. You are correct that it's according to his ability. It's not like others, but
we measure
people according to relative power, how much they can do. I was able to do something small, but actually it's a big thing. That's how we see it. A big thing has he done. If to his age, it was a big leap. Focus group.
There's a question from Israel. Why is man a filling that each one tastes whatever he wants?
Of course, it's a filling. Because the fact that I can ask for help from the upper, and I'm not asking for myself. I'm asking in order to draw the Achab and also to raise him to the Creator. So for me, it's a fulfillment. I feel that I'm filled with pride. That look at the work I'm doing. Why can't I be proud about it? It's written.
I wish we'll be in a competition who is bestowing more. So I'm repeated, so it probably is a difference. Rav. The will to receive, that receives the light, adapts itself to the light in some way, and according to that, it calls the light by names. Then the desire bestows on the light bestows on the desire, and all we are is speaking about those two in the wisdom of Kabbalah. Except for them, there's nothing in the wisdom. Now, between them, there's all kinds of state. That's what the wisdom is speaking about. By the studies, our purpose is to reach the best state. So they explain that the best state is that the desire will receive all the light of Insof inside. And that can only happen under the condition that the desire will have the same qualities as the light. The light is entirely to bestow, to love, and the desire has to also have the same qualities of bestowing and loving. And that's all the corrections we need to perform on ourselves. When we start discovering ourselves, we see that we're opposite. Each one doesn't want to love, but wants to love himself and hates the others. Each one doesn't want to give, but only wants to receive. And then we understand that the Creator created us in an opposite way. As he says, I've created the evil inclination, and that we need to make ourselves to resemble him. That's our work. And to do the opposite. How to do that opposite? That is what we're learning. How we get such a desire, and afterwards such a force, and in what degrees we're changing ourselves from being opposite to the Creator to resembling the Creator. That's it. Ashkelon 2. Rav, could you please, I want to understand this matter of the example of the mountain and the part that is a part of it, the part that was differentiated from the mountain, compared to the soul which is divided or is differentiated from the Creator, it does change its qualities. That's simply the examples unclear to me.
The example itself, I'll tell you. The Creator is like a mountain. And my desire doesn't resemble the mountain. It's not equal to it. But only to a tiny part of that mountain. And then as much as my desire still tries to resemble that mountain, so in the desire, I can grasp a part of that mountain. And what I grasp inside, that's called a soul. Whatever I can grasp in my will to receive is called a soul. And what is outside of me is the light of Ein Sof, a very big mountain. But I only grasp a small part of it. But if I try to be exactly like that part in me, so there's no difference between the part and the mountain. I feel the Creator entirely. There are many things here that I can't even pass in words. That it's enough to grasp even a little tiny part of the Creator. But if I identify with Him in everything in perfection, then I become like Him, and I'm with Him in the complete Dvikut, and me and Him become as one. That's called Israel, the light and the Creator are one.
Hello, Rav.
Baruch
Salam says that in the other state, in the second state, where our desires differentiate from one another, does the light of Ein Sof draw us to the first state, or how do we attain that connection he's talking about?
It's only by connecting between us and the ten, then we're building this net of relationships, that as much as the relationships resemble the Creator, we feel the Creator in that web. Imagine 10 people, if there's a connection between them, so we're speaking about the essence of the connection between them, as much as there's bestowal in the connection between them in a mutual way from each one to everyone else. And then according to that, we say that they, in that web, they can grab the Creator. He's revealed in there. Yeah.
Haifa 2.
Haifa 2.
We're continuing with item 6. Explanation about the text of our sages. Hence, there has been work and labor prepared for the reward of the neshamot, for one who eats that which is not one's own is afraid to look upon one's face. To somewhat understand this sublime place, we must go into further detail. We shall research this entire reality before us and its general purpose. Is there an operation without a purpose? And what is that purpose for which he has invented this entire reality before us in the upper and the lower worlds? Indeed,
meaning, what did the Creator create all these worlds and Paltzufim for? All of this creation with us in it. What's the benefit of it? Who needs this? And for what goal?
Indeed, our sages have already instructed us in many places that all the worlds were not created but for Israel.
who keep Torah and mitzvot. And this is well known.
So everybody knows that we have to keep the Torah and mitzvot. Nobody knows what it is, but everybody says it. So what actions are we speaking about that we need to perform, whether in our hands and legs or with our mouth or what, that it will be called Torah and mitzvot?
However, we should understand this question of our sages, where they asked, if the purpose of the creation of the worlds is to delight his creatures, then why did he create this corporeal, turbid, and tormented world?
Which is the lowest, worst world, ours. If he wanted to do good for his created beings, why did he make us like this?
Without it, he could certainly delight the neshamot as much as he wanted. And why did he bring the soul into such a foul and filthy body? They explained it with the verse, one who eats that which is not one's own is afraid to look upon one's face. The interpretation is the any free gift brings shame on the face.
Meaning somebody who gets something free from someone else feels shame. There's an unpleasant feeling. Where does it come from? It comes from me, the egoistic will to receive. And when I receive from someone, I feel myself less than the one giving to me. And then I'm ashamed, I blush, I don't like that state. Better if I give to someone, and then I'm proud. But to receive from someone, it's a shame. I need, I'm dependent. And
in order to spare the souls this blemish, he has created this world where there is work. They will therefore enjoy their labor, for they take their pay from the whole in return for their work.
Meaning that we can create a state that if I need something, I'll work for it, I'll gain, and then I can receive without being ashamed. And then the opposite, it becomes honor. Yeah.
And are thus spared the...
Bonjour, Rav. Comment demander...
Hello, Rav.
De révéler et augmenter le don de chaque ami dans notre dizaine.
How can we exactly ask for the light to increase the bestowal of every member, every friend of the ten?
To ask from the Creator to help me see the friends that they are bestowing. Maybe they're bestowing now and I don't see it. So to ask from the Creator to show it to me. That's called they have eyes and they shall not see. And more than that, we're in the world of Ein Sof right now. We're in Gmar Tikkun. All of these corruptions are on the way we observe, that we can't see it. So we just have to ask the Creator to take away this concealment. That's it. Moshe.
Item 7. What is the connection between working 70 years and eternal delight? And you will not find a greater free gift than that. These words are perplexing through and through. First, our primary aim and prayer is spare us a free gift. Our sages have said that the treasure of a free gift is prepared only for the highest souls in the world. Their answer is even more perplexing. They said that there is a great flaw in free gifts, namely the shame that encounters every receiver of a free gift. Amen. This, the Creator has prepared this world where there is work and labor so as to be rewarded in the next world for their labor and work. But that excuse is very strange. It's like a person who says to his friend, work with me for just a minute, and in return, I will give you every pleasure and treasure in the world for the rest of your life. There's indeed no greater free gift than that, because the reward is incomparable with the work.
That's what religious people think. Everybody, they think we'll do something in this world, in this life, and afterwards I will have infinite time, pleasures, heaven. For what? For what you're doing now in this world, you're doing anything? Where is the shame? Where is the equality between what you're doing and what you're about to receive? Yeah.
As the work is in this world, it's transient, worthless world compared to the reward and the pleasure in the eternal world. What value is there to the passing world compared to the eternal world? It is even more so with regards to the quality of the labor, which is worthless compared to the quality of the reward. Just as our sages have said, the Creator is destined to inherit each and every righteous person 310 worlds.
That's what we get in the future compared to what? To what we live in this world and we do like these tiny little actions.
We cannot say that some of the reward is given in return for their work and the rest is a free gift. For then, what good would that do? As the blemish of shame would still remain.
We must cover everything we receive from the Creator, otherwise the shame will remain. So what's the point in working in this world to cover everything we receive that will reach the other world with honor? What is this whole depiction going on here? It's obviously not what it seems to us from the writing, what people think. Yeah?
Indeed, the shame would still remain. Indeed, their words are not to be taken literally. For there is a profound meaning in their words.
At least the question has to be understood that there is no relation between as much as we can do in this world, and after we die, we'll get something in the next world where it's whole, eternal, everything you want. There is no such thing. It's not, it doesn't go according to so where we were number 8. The entire reality was emanated and created with a single thought. It is the operator, it is the very operation, and it is actually the sought-after reward and the essence of the labor. Before we delve into the explanation of their words, we must understand his thought in creating the worlds and the reality before us. His operations did not come to be by many thoughts as in our way. That is, he is one, unique and unified. And as he is simple, so his lights extend from him, namely simple and unified, without any multiplicity of forms. As it says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. You must therefore understand and perceive that all the names and appellations and all the olamot, upper and lower, are all the ol pashut, the simple light, unique and unified. in the Creator, the light that extends the thought, the operation, and the operator, and anything the heart can think and contemplate are in Him one and the same thing. Thus, you can judge and perceive that this entire reality, the upper and lower ones, were created. The final state of the end of correction was emanated and created by a single thought. That single thought performs all the operations, is the essence of all the operations, the purpose and the essence of the labor, and is by itself the entire perfection and the sought-after reward, as Rambam explained, one unique and unified.
This we will have to learn still and try to attain. But that's the answer, that in one thought everything was created and everything was arranged from the beginning to the end, and there's no beginning here and no end, but rather one thought, the thought of the Creator to establish the creatures. And once He did that, He did them in the final stage completely. And this is how we will discover.
Здравствуйте, Раф.
Привет.
Привет, привет. Вопрос от товарища. Вот такое состояние.
Question from a friend.
Если уместно этот вопрос, если я вижу, что мои товарищи такие большие,
I hope I'm asking right. If I see my friends are so great, that I can't even reach their degree, so I lose my desire. So also the envy doesn't work anymore. What should we do in such a state? How to continue?
First of all, the fact that you're saying it is very nice. It's truly wonderful, meaning that the friends are so great in my eyes that I can't even envy them. I can't advance together with them. They are simply disconnected from me. They're so great. So what should I do if so? How can I advance if so? I need to accept one thing. The Creator put me amongst them. He said, take this. He chose my group for me. He put me into the group. He gave me a teacher. He gave me the friends. I must be amongst them. Read what Rabash writes about the ten. You must feel yourself the smallest of them all. So you already feel that you're small. Then I am recommending that you start now to try to feel yourself as truly small. You'll all of a sudden see that you're great and you have what to work on. You have pride. You have how to lower, diminish your head, how to bow your head down.
Yes.
Therefore, don't worry, there is work. But it's not that you leave the group because you can't be among such great ones. So you're the smallest. That's very good. That's very good. First of all, receive every single state as coming from the Creator, that He is putting you into such states between the friends. And you have to take this and to say to Him, thank you very much. I accept this and continue to work. And not to complain for what you have at the moment. Every single moment, the person needs to understand that he receives it from the Creator. And what he wants to have in the next moment depends on the Creator. Okay?
Спасибо.
Держись, держись.
Thank you.
New York 4.
So, Rav, if I understood correctly, the reason for this world and all of its darkness, its suffering, is because to save us from the shame that we would feel of the greatness of the Creator?
Yes. Yes. More or less, that's correct.